You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Simonetta Moro. Simonetta, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Simonetta, let's talk about what you're working on now. I know you're usually in New York and you're on the road now. I don't know where you're going, but should we talk about where you're going or should we talk about your work first?
I don't know if that's... we're just traveling to Michigan. It's a little vacation. But usually
nice.
I'm based in New York City, yes.
Very good. So tell me about the work you're doing now. What kind of work are you involved with?
Well, it's an interesting question because my work is kind of divided between the studio where I do my painting and drawing, and then the writing desk. So right now I'm actually focusing more on the writing. But, you know, I just finished a series of works that were exhibited in Italy last spring.
And which works were those? Let's talk about those works in Italy, and then we'll talk about your writing. What was exhibited in Italy?
It was a series of drawings. I should really say works on paper because, you know, there are as much painting as there are drawings. And they were all, collectively, they were called Teatro Mundi, which is a Latin expression which means the theater of the world. And there were all different views of various places, mostly in the Middle East, that have been theater of wars, recent and ancient. So the idea was to represent places that are endangered, mostly by the human hand. Conflicts, places of conflict.
And so these were drawings, these were in a sense maps, because I know you've done quite a bit of mapping before.
Yes.
In a sense. So this was a version of that?
They were kind of cartographic, so all the views were mostly from above. So if there wasn't a horizon, it was very high on the paper. Some drawings did not even have a horizon, so they were more like aerial views, but also maps. So they played with that ambiguity, you know, of being views of a terrain, but also kind of cartographic and more abstract.
And this is something that's been consistent in your work for several years now, right? Being cartographic,
yes,
as you say, but also
exactly
aerial views and in a sense of often a large expanse of land. But in this case, in Italy, I mean, I know your others sometimes were too, but this was explicitly political or socio-political.
One could say that, yeah, they were more political than other works have done. Although I think that whenever you represent a place, you know, especially in this sort of cartographic mode, there is always an element of the political, because you're dealing with the idea of territory and borders and who claims ownership, you know, of a place. Some of the drawings deliberately try to avoid that, so I don't necessarily.
And how is the reaction to the last show? That sounds, you know, like something a European audience, I mean, as well as an American audience, really, but that a European audience would appreciate that kind of commentary on disappearing cultures or endangered cultures, as you say, as well as the idea
yes
of kind of the other, the outsider, the ones
yes
that aren't in the news.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and maybe in Europe more than in the United States, the effects of the Syrian war have been more pronounced, you know, somehow closer to home when you talk about that particular conflict. So, because many of the places were in Syria, the places I depicted, it sort of was very... It sounded very current.
Hmm.
There were also references to World War I, because that's another series of works I've been making in the last 5 years. And it all began as a way to reflect upon, you know, that war of which the centennial happened in 2014. So beginning with 2014, I began to make these drawings of mylar, which is a translucent material that allows me to work in layers, which is another way I work very often. So I was able to combine historical maps with views of places and other archival documents I found to sort of recreate this, again, these theaters of war that went back to a century ago. So there was also a relationship between the history of a faraway conflict, but the repercussions that we feel today in many of those regions, particularly in the Middle East.
So the mylar wasn't used in this show. I know you've used and you talked about it using mylar before, which is a kind of a beautiful technique to show layers and also cartographic technique. The mylar wasn't used in the recent show, though, was it?
It was, yes. Some of the works were on mylar. Others were on a drawing paper or, you know, heavier kind of paper. So there was a combination of two different sets of works. The ones that are mylar, they use for the most part inks and liquid media. The ones on paper were mostly consisting of pigments, so they were very dry. They were more like pastel drawings. So there was a contrast between the opacity of the works on paper and the translucent quality of the ones on mylar.
And that's very interesting. I mean, it seems, I mean, at face value, that part of that opacity in the mylar is about the layers of research you're doing, the layers of meaning, or am I reaching a little bit there?
Well, with the mylar, there is a play between opacity and transparency, right? It's never completely transparent, but you can see through up to a certain point, which is interesting because it creates layers of depth, but it also, in my view, it's kind of a metaphor for the amount of information you can gather and the limitations of that. So, yes, you can dig back into history, but there's always an element of invisibility, which remains, right? So it's never fully transparent.
Mm. Let's talk about your writing. Yeah, that's really clear. What's happening with your writing now? You say you're focused more on that than visual art. So what are you writing?
Well, right now I'm writing a book, which is going to be a philosophical reflection on what I call cartographic paradigms in modern and contemporary art. The book is going to be published by Routledge Advances in Art and Visual Studies. So it's not an art book. It's a theoretical book on cartography and how, you know, the cartographic image sort of traveled from the past into our contemporary time and how it sort of manifested itself through various epochs.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because we're talking about maps, of course, right? And maps, you know, I don't know a lot about them, but of course we're familiar with very early maps and how they kind of lay out space and territory up to now, mm-hmm. where we're looking at Google Maps and, you know, we're in a whole other world. But in terms of the theory or the thread that's going through your books, are you talking about maps in a political sense or socio-political sense, which would seem hard to avoid, or what's the theory that brings together the study in this book or the thesis of the book?
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea is that there are sort of, you know, historically, the discourse around mapping has always been predicated on the idea of a progressive refinement of scientific methods, you know, to be able to achieve more and more accurate representation of space. But I'm sort of making a different argument, which is to find the mythological aspects and the poetic aspects of mapping, which have existed throughout. And it's not simply an evolutionary statement where, you know, old maps used to be inaccurate and mythological, while, you know, modern maps are more and more scientific. That's also true. But I'm interested in finding the merging of mythology and let's say, the more objective view in maps, both ancient and modern. So there will be a chapter at the end where I talk about contemporary use of maps in artworks. But again, it's a use that is, you know, again, pushing the poetic and mythological aspects, as well as, yes, what you find in Google Maps, in data-driven maps, and so on.
Yeah, so that's fascinating. So you're, how far the way through the book are you at this point?
I would say one-third through, so I still have a lot to work
and,
on.
And what have you found most exciting so far about the research? Is there something that, because I imagine you're looking at maps, you're looking at cartographers, artists, that's a lot of information. Was there an element of your research or writing so far that was particularly interesting?
Well, I'm discovering, yes, that when you apply a certain phenomenological lens to maps also far away in time, you really discover some interesting things that were not apparent, obviously. You know, so, for instance, I was observing this map. It's a famous map of Fra Mauro of Venice. It's from 1492, around that time, which is interestingly also the time of the famous travel of Columbus, right? So it's a map that has often been considered a transitional map between, you know, the Middle Ages and the early Renaissance. But I never realized until I did some study on the map that the center of the map is not Jerusalem, you know, the way ancient maps used to have. But it's Babylon. So that sort of created a discussion around the map that I haven't seen elsewhere. And there are many examples like that, you know, when you begin to do iconographical research that is also paired with a philosophical one, there are many, many occasions to find new readings. So it's also a hermeneutical approach I'm applying to these maps.
All right, that's fascinating. And so are you, is all this research done online, or are you also going to libraries? That seems like a lot of that wouldn't be online, but perhaps
yes,
it is.
Yes, I've done already some research in archives and libraries, of course, and that's ongoing. So no, not everything is available online, that's for sure. And you need to see these maps because the material aspect is so important. And that's also what I translate in my work as an artist, the physicality of this cartographic document that I find and then I often use in my work. It's not just an image, you know, it's the object.
Right. And so at the moment you're working on a book, are you working on visual art at the same time, or will that happen after the book is finished?
I find it very hard not to do both. I mean, it's challenging, but at the same time, I get ideas and I get proposals for artworks, exhibitions, so I cannot renounce, you know, I cannot just do one or the other. I tend to do both. And, of course, I alternate in terms of the time because, as you know, writing is very time-consuming, painting is very time-consuming, but I never stay away for too long from the studio when I write and vice versa.
And so we talked about your book and your recent show and a little bit about how you approach art. Are you also teaching? Or like, what else is happening in your creative sphere?
Yes, I also teach. I direct a PhD program. So I do also administration at the Institute for Doctoral Studies in Visual Arts, or IDSVA. This coming fall, I'm going to take a sabbatical leave from teaching in order to focus more on the book, but I will still be directing the school, so it's a full-time job. And what I teach there, I teach art theory and philosophy to doctoral students.
People who are getting a doctorate in art?
In art theory, philosophy, and visual arts, yes. So it's mostly theoretical. You know, they write papers, they present conference style, and then eventually they write a dissertation.
Very good. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I wish you well with your book and your future work. I want to ask you one
Thank
more
you
question,
very much.
Which is, what are you reading at the moment? I'm curious.
Many books. I'm mostly reading for my research, so at the moment I'm reading a lot about cartography. I'm focusing on a chapter where there is a lot of Deleuze, Gilles Deleuze, and also theories of the Baroque. So there are many titles I'm reading, but these are some of the Deleuze in one of the names I'm focusing on.
Well, thank you for that. I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Simonetta.
Thank you so much, Brenna.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.